Well, mercy, grace, and peace to each of you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is, and the vicar and I have talked about this, this is my favorite time of the year. I love Thanksgiving. I don't know why. I love it here. I think it's because of the smell of the air of the country. I love the aromas coming out of the kitchen. I love the fellowship. And I sense you know exactly what I'm talking about. Just a few weeks ago, we listened to me sit here and talk about All Saints Day, remembering those dear family members and our friends who now have taken their rest with the Lord. And no time of the year kind of stirs up memories of the past in these individuals than now. Gathering around the table, sharing stories, a lot of laughter, a lot of joking. It's a great time. It is a great time of the year. But you know, historically, and I'm going to go way back, 400 plus years. Thanksgiving didn't really start out very, very well. It was not about surrounding those people with comforts. It was back in 1621. It was the very first Thanksgiving after a devastating voyage on the Mayflower. And that journey took a terrible toll, if you recall, because half of the pilgrims perished. And that first Thanksgiving, there was only 53 pilgrims who came together, and a number of the natives. And of that 53, only four were women. All had died except those four. And yet, despite that hardship, the reason for their feast, they declared, was very clear. And this is why they had their feast. That's why they had the first feast, was to give praise to God for the gift of life and the blessings of a meager harvest. The first Thanksgiving, first and foremost, we forget, but it was a religious celebration. It was a service of worship and gratitude. And before they did anything else, they thank their God for what they had. And you know what they were so thankful for? I studied this a bit, because what were they? It wasn't that they had great luck, but what were they thankful for? And they had two items that they listed out and will always be remembered for. And those two items, number one was the inerrancy Word of God. They were thankful for that. Secondly, they were very thankful for their congregational autonomy. They felt so good because they reported to no one. There was no legislature. There was no synod. There was no district. There was nothing except them. What they had amongst themselves. I like that part because it kind of sounds Lutheran to me, but I'm a little prejudiced. But these simple people, all they wanted, all they were seeking, was a place that they could raise their family in peace and worship God. So tonight, we kind of have to ask ourselves, have we lost sight of that first Thanksgiving? Do we remember that the holiday was initially put together to celebrate God, not food, not football, but God? Here's my favorite Thanksgiving story I'll give you. One Thanksgiving, a family was gathered around the table admiring the beautiful setting, the beautiful turkey, the beautiful everything. And they had a unique tradition. What they would do is they would go around the table from the eldest to the youngest, and they would ask each person to share what they were thankful for. Pretty cool. Well, they came to 5-year-old Frankie, and it was his turn. And he thought a bit, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, I am very thankful for this turkey. I don't know what it's going to taste like, but I think it's going to be pretty good. So I'm going to celebrate that. I want to be thankful for that, and I want to thank the butcher who got the turkey. I want to thank the checkout person. I want to thank the person who stocks the shelves, and I want to thank the farmer who raised the turkey. And that he stopped. And he leaned over to his little brother who was 3, and he said, Jesse. They forget anybody. And Jesse looked at him and said, yeah, you forgot God. And Frankie turned to him and said, I was just about ready to get to him. And isn't that the way we are sometimes? Sometimes we forget everybody except the one we should really be thankful for. And that's our Lord and Savior. I think most of us, I know I am pretty good at thanking God when life goes my way. If it turns out good or it happens to be a windfall to me, I'm happy. Thankful. Thank you, God. But when pain, loss, or disappointment come, that's a little harder for each of us to say thank you. But let me read you just one element of Scripture tonight from 1 Thessalonians. This, and Paul writes this. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. All circumstances, not just the ones you like. We give thanks to God for giving us all the things we have. All that we're sufficient to take care of. But maybe you're sitting there saying, you know, Pastor Dennis, you're missing the boat here. Do you understand? Do you know how many pressures we have? Do you understand what's going on in Africa? I mean, do you understand what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Do you understand what's going on in New York City? Yeah, I know. But I can also assure you this has been going on as long as I can remember as a little kid. We've been hunting out communists since the early 50s. And they go and they come and they come and they go. There's always been hate. There's always been anger. But you know what? Our life is no different than those pilgrims 400 years ago. We have problems. They had problems. They didn't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But we know this. Leave it in the hands of God. When are we going to learn to stop fooling around and just turn it over to God? As we heard the gospel tonight, we can see that it is easy to give thanks when things are right, but not so much when we're anxious and upset. And I'm going to close with one little story. And it was in Michigan. It was this time of the year. It was rainy. It was kind of cold, foggy. And a young man sat alone in a small funeral chapel after the service for his little boy, his only son, Sean, who was in the casket at the front of the room. He was shattered. He had prayed. He had prayed that God would please take him and spare his son, but God didn't. He took his son. And he was broken. He was confused. There was nothing but sorrow about him. He thought everybody in the room had left. He thought. But in the very back of the chapel stood an elderly Lutheran pastor. The pastor quietly approached him, sat down next to him, and said this. He said, "Have you ever seen a tapestry made?" And the young man said, "No." He said, "When a tapestry is woven, it's sewn from the back, not the front. And from that side, it looks messy and tangled, and threads are running in every direction and colors. You can't follow it. They're crossing and twisting. It's total chaos. But the weavers, they keep on weaving, following a pattern that only they know. And when it's finished, they turn that tapestry over, and it's a beautiful picture." And he stopped there. And he said softly, "Son, that's our lives. From where we sit, we only see the back, the knots, we see the chaos. But God sees the front of the tapestry. He knows the beauty. He is creating, even when we can't see it." The old pastor patted the young man on the arm and left. Friends, tonight, I can only tell you we can see the back of life's tapestry. But someday, I promise you, by God's grace, we will see the finished work, and it will be beautiful beyond words. So tonight, as we thank God for the blessings we can see, let us also thank him for the beauty and the glory yet to come into your life. Amen.